The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Consider tripinsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from tripinsurance.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Bousford.
And I'm Doug Parker. Check out our cruise news at cruiseradio.net.
All right, on this show, we're going to talk to Teresa Norton Masick, editor-in-chief of Vacation Agent magazine. She was recently on Oceana Cruise's brand new Riviera. She'll give us a comprehensive review of the ship.
Also this week, Scott's down in South Florida. He has president and CEO of MSC Cruises USA, Mr. Rick Sasso, and he'll be talking all about their upcoming MSC Divina. They'll be joining us later on in the show as well.
Stuart Giron, the cruise guy, is over in Europe this week. So joining us with cruise news is travel writer Chris Owen. Hello, Chris. Let's get right to it. Royal Caribbean announced earlier today that Brilliance of the Seas is going to be repositioned to Tampa in 2013, replacing Jewel of the Seas. What kind of itineraries will she be doing?
Brilliance will be doing 4 and 5 nights Caribbean sailings out of Tampa, going to Cozumel on the 4 nights and Cozumel and Grand Cayman on the 5 nights.
Okay.
But before she gets there and does that, she's going through the Royal Advantage program, where she's going to be revitalized and come back almost like a new ship, with all kinds of new onboard enhancements, revitalized staterooms, Wi-Fi, digital wayfinding systems, all that sort of stuff. So while it technically is the same ship, Tampa's actually getting a better ship.
So, Chris, Celebrity Millennium emerged from dry dock in Freeport, Bahamas last week and is officially solsticized. So what does solsticized mean, and what changes can we expect?
Solsticizing is kind of like, well, we just talked about the Royal Advantage program with Royal Caribbean.
Yeah.
This is like the Celebrity version of that,
okay,
where they're taking all the best of all the latest and greatest ships that came out and putting them on the older ships, making them really one of the better values out there. Because, you know, remember, everybody wants to sail on the new ship, and it's a premium priced ship. The older ships may not be as big, may not be quite as pretty, but when they get done with these revitalizations, and this solsticizing is a perfect example of it, they come out a completely different ship.
By the way, Chris, looking forward to hanging out with you on the Carnival Breeze next month. And I understand they completed their sea trials and passed with flying colors. What exactly is done during sea trials?
Oh, well, good question. The sea trials are... It's a testing phase, like a shakedown cruise. You might have heard them being called. It's a measure of the vessel's performance and general seaworthiness. They test the speed, the maneuverability, the equipment, all the safety features. They get it out and take it for a test spin. In fact, some people, when they're deciding whether they want to buy an existing ship, will go on a sea trial, which is a short trip in the ship to see how it looks. And at this point, the cruise line doesn't own the ship. It's still owned by the builder. On board, on the Tennessee trials, will be some technical representatives from the builder, maybe the Coast Guard, representatives of the owners. It's a party, kind of, in a way. It's sort of a milestone experience. Well, it's definitely a milestone event in the construction of a cruise ship. And next up for that ship will be that Carnival will take delivery of the ship, what's called acceptance by the owner. And then it's theirs, and we'll be sailing on it June 15th, I believe.
Yes, Doug and I are very excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. She's going to spend the summertime doing Mediterranean cruises out of Barcelona and then reposition to Miami for the fall and wintertime for 2013.
Cool.
So, Chris, Norwegian Cruise Lines is offering up to $1,000 in air credit on select European sailings. Now, is this actually a deal or another famous whoop-de-doo deal?
No, actually, this one has some meat to it. It's a lot of these don't. They'll say airfare credit or onboard credit or upgrade or whatever the case may be, and it's all on applicable itineraries is the trick. And it's just a few sailings that they're having trouble filling up, and they might as well give them free airfare because nobody else wants to go on them. This is a good deal.
Okay.
Actually, there's over 100 sailings that this is applicable on. All of them say all of these things you have to look at the fine print, and it's not good on every sailing. It's only good on some sailings. But on some sailings, well, like, for example, Norwegian Epic sailing, a 7-night Western Mediterranean sailing July of this year, $500 a person credit for air. But...
Cool.
Have to have a suite. But otherwise, no, it's legit.
All right, and speaking of Norwegian Cruise Line, they cut the steel with a plasma torch for their upcoming 4,000-passenger Norwegian getaway at a shipyard in Papenburg, Germany on Friday. The 144,000-ton Norwegian getaway is the second of two of the Norwegian cruise ships. Thanks so much, Chris. Looking forward to seeing you next month.
Can't wait to see you either.
This is Cruise Radio.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being. And they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. TripInsurance.com. Each week we give you Porthole Cruise Magazine's Pick of the Week. If you're getting ready to cruise Alaska this week and are calling on Vancouver between May 18th and May 25th, make your way to the third annual Vancouver Craft Beer Week, which promises 9 headliner events, 6 opening acts, 36 neighborhood gigs, and more than a dozen week-long specials dedicated to craft beer.
With more than 60 Canadian, American, and European breweries participating, events include the Hop Headbangers Ball, Hopapalooza 3, a Beercraft Belgian Showcase, and the first annual Battle of the Bartender Beer Cocktail Competition.
To find out more, go to VancouverCraftBeerWeek.com.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio.
All right, Scott is down in South Florida talking to Rick Sasso, CEO and President of MSC Cruises USA. Rick, welcome to Cruise Radio, and if you could, please, share with us your excitement of coming to the U.S. market with the upcoming MSC Divina.
It's great to be with you. We've spent 8 years building this brand, and we've done a great job adding so many new ships that it's now time for us to make North America our second home, because we are an international European company. And now it's time to bring the Diva here. The Divina will come at the end of next year, 2013, to the Port of Miami. So we're very excited to have the Yacht Club as part of that offering when the Divina comes, and to keep expanding in this market. This market needs an MSC.
Clearly your ships are beautiful. They're works of art. Tell me about the Divina. How big is it? How many people? How many passengers?
Well, it's 3,500 guests, and the ship is 140,000 tons. So there's a lot of space on board. There's 4 swimming pools, and there's private areas and private lounges and the Yacht Club. So it is a state-of-the-art vessel that'll be delivered in 30 days from now. She'll be christened in Marseille on the 26th of May. So she's not even in the water yet, but we are going to have her here, and I think it will set the tone for the kind of hardware that people should want in cruising, and MSC should become one of the leaders in providing that kind of hardware.
You've mentioned about white glove service, about pampering. Tell me a little more about that.
Well, you know, the art of cruising back in 30 or 40 years ago, it was about service. It wasn't about trying to get people to buy more drinks or do art auctions and things. So we think that that art was lost. So we don't make a lot of announcements on board. People are free to enjoy the cruise. They're not hearing all these intimidating spend-your-money announcements. We also think that people need to be pampered. that the white glove service, when you first step aboard, that somebody greets you, somebody escorts you, somebody's always there to get you a drink if you want one. So it's very unintrusive, but it's a level of service that people appreciate because they're on holiday. They want to be pampered, but they want it to be on their terms. And I think we've been able to capture that.
Clearly in North America, becoming more health conscious, clearly with food and so forth, but also smoking. In Europe, smoking is more prevalent. If someone were to ask MSC about your smoking policy, can you comment on that?
Yeah, in fact, in Europe, we're very strict now, not just in North America, but there is no smoking throughout the ship with the exception of a few lounges. So the casino and half of one lounge and up on deck. No smoking in cabins, no smoking in balconies, no smoking in dining areas, no smoking in showrooms. So we're pretty much as close to a no-smoking ship as you can get, and that's anywhere where an MSC ship sails.
I think that's clearly going to benefit the North American market specifically, since you are coming here in force. And it's amazing to me that you're dedicating the resources, the people, and the manpower to bring MSC to the United States.
Listen, North America is the biggest cruise market in the world, and we are a great big cruise line now, and we're the number one cruise line in Europe. So we need to have our assets here as well, and we've established that over the last 8 years, and now's the time to really accelerate that.
This is Cruise Radio.
Always love being around her and talking to her. Editor-in-Chief of Vacation Agent Magazine, Teresa Norton-Masick. Welcome back to Cruise Radio, my dear.
Wow, it's a pleasure to be with you guys again.
A little jealous. You got to sail on Oceana Cruises Riviera. Tell us all about it.
Well, this new ship is it's considered to be an upper premium ship, which means, you know, one step up the premium experience, but not quite the luxury experience. They're smaller size ships in the market as a whole, although Oceana's newer ships are a little larger than their original three. So the Riviera is the second of two ships.
Yeah.
The first was Marina, and Riviera is about 66,000 gross registered tons, about 1,250 passengers. And it's a beautiful ship, I can tell you firsthand.
So, Teresa, you say it's not like a true luxury ship, but is it more along the lines of like a Celebrity Cruises type ship?
Well, technically, I suppose most people would consider this to be perhaps a little step up.
So somewhere between like Celebrity and Seabourn.
Or its sister company, Regent Seven Seas Cruises. And the main difference keeping it from the luxury category, I think, is the fact that the alcoholic beverages aren't included. You know, on luxury cruise ships, you really don't pay for anything once you get on board.
Right.
Virtually anything. But on Oceana, for example, you know, there's a number of alternative specialty restaurants. You do not pay a cover charge to go to any of them. Soft drinks and bottled water are included throughout the cruise.
Nice.
And that's a benefit when you're cruising in hot places and you want to bring bottled water with you on your excursions.
Yeah.
So those are like the little extras that are included in this upper premium product. Plus, it's just a gorgeous ship. You know, it's marble, it's granite everywhere. It's a very original art collection of original pieces throughout. The Lelique Grand Staircase. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful ship.
Well, and before we talk about the dining and the entertainment and all that, and that's what I was going to ask you, what's your first impression when you approach the ship and you're just boarding? What is that experience?
Well, my experience, and I'll tell you, this is the first time I've ever sailed on Oceana. So I've been covering the cruise industry for about 17 years, and so it's really my first experience to actually cruise on the ship, although I've been on board in the past. But my first experience was, wow, this ship is beautiful. You know, you walk in through the main lobby, and that's where you see, you know, all the crystal chandelier and the glass staircase. I was just overly impressed with its appearance.
Tell us about the dining venues.
Well, first of all, there's the Grand Dining Room, which is the main restaurant. And I have to say, it's one of the most beautiful restaurants I think I've seen. What I like most about it is there's crystal chandeliers, just perfectly round and not very ostentatious, a very pleasant room. But that's where you eat, you know, most of the time. Now, there's three specialty restaurants. One is called Red Ginger, and that's your Asian fusion
right.
eatery. Then you have the Polo Grill, which is your steakhouse. It also has a lot of seafood, you know, surf and turf, that kind of thing. Toscana is an Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a restaurant, another specialty bistro called Jacques, which was created by the French TV chef Jacques Pepin. So that it really has the feel of a country French bistro.
Yeah.
Very charming. But again, no extra charge to go to any of these.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then, they, of course, they have the casual eatery. It's called the Terrace Cafe, you know, up on a higher deck with indoor-outdoor seating, buffets. And again, a very upscale food offering. There is a grill up there as well.
So Riviera and her sister ship, Marina, both have culinary kitchens at sea, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive program if you're into food. You know, as I said, they're considering this to be the ship for foodies, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And these culinary kitchens are very fancy, you know, the sort of thing you might see, you know, on the Food Network or something. But there's someone in the front, the executive chef or guest chefs they have on board, whoever, you know, teaching a class. And there are 24 workstations in the studio where each person attending has their own little workstation, you know, with a little stovetop and a sink. And they can watch what the teacher is doing because there's cameras pointed on her and right. big video screens in the room.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And one of the new things that Oceana is offering now is a culinary tour. And I did one of those in Barcelona where the chef actually takes you, this small group. You go to one of the fresh produce markets, and you see what kind of things they offer. The chef buys ingredients there, and then you all go back. Oh, and you stay on shore for a cooking lesson at a school on shore, and then you all go back onto the ship and get another cooking lesson a little later in the studio on the ship.
Being a premium luxury class ship, are the staterooms a lot different than your standard room?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought they were, you know, up a few notches from your typical stateroom. The one I stayed in was called a veranda stateroom. And, you know, it's mid-range. It's not considered a suite or anything, but it does have the private balcony. And that measured 282 square feet. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
The other things that set it apart is what they call the Oceana Tranquility Bed. And it's very nice. And let me tell you, 700 or 1,000 thread count sheets.
Huh.
That's pretty high up there.
Yeah.
You know, Bulgari toiletries, that type of thing. My particular room had a shower and a separate full tub. You know, you're talking marble, nice woods,
wow.
A very roomy. And this level of stateroom also has access to a concierge lounge, where the concierges will make your spa reservations or restaurant reservations. And there's always food there, little snacks, coffee machine, that type of thing. But even the most basic stateroom, the inside stateroom, of which there aren't that many on this ship, that still measured 174 square feet, which is still a good size. And again, then there are suites, you know, a variety of categories, with the biggest one, of course, being the owner's suite, which is 2,000 square feet. That's the one that has the Ralph Lauren furniture, all kinds of over-the-top features.
All right, Teresa, final thoughts on Riviera.
My final thought would be that going on this ship and eating in the dining rooms, there are more than a few people who say, why is this not considered a luxury product? Because it has that feel. It's extremely well done. The cuisine is superb. The ship is beautiful. Very, you know, expensive, top-notch furnishings, finishings. And again, you know, whether it's upper premium or luxury is a little bit of a subjective judgment, but it's very close to the luxury level.
Yeah.
Plus, the other thing is Oceana has a sister company, Regent Seven Seas Cruises, which is firmly in the luxury category. So they might also be interested in keeping a differentiation between the two products.
All right, Editor-in-Chief of Vacation Agent Magazine, Teresa Norton Masick, thank you so much for being with us again.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, I assure you.
All right, that's going to do it. Don't forget, we have a Cruise Radio app.
Everything you need, want, and love about Cruise Radio in the palm of your hands. Just go to your smartphone app store and search Cruise Radio.
Yeah, I actually uploaded about 20 new videos on the app, and also, of course, get your Cruise News feed 24/7 on there as well. Also, speaking of Cruise News, sign up for our Cruise News alerts at cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales at cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.